Blog Talk Radio.
The Late Hit Sports Podcast with Josh Taylor. While listening to this podcast, you may suffer from the following symptoms.
Increase in brain size, overwhelmed with how awesome this podcast is, and oh yeah, a warm, fuzzy feeling knowing that football season never left in the first place.
It's right behind you. Now, the Late Hit Sports Podcast with Josh Taylor.
Welcome to Late Hit Sports. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Josh Taylor. Alongside of me is the man, the myth, the legend, Brandon Lowe. We have a great show ahead today, including ESPN's post-spring, way too early top 25, along with Brandon and I's most overrated Power 5 football conferences. Brandon, how are you today?
I'm good, man. Excited to be here with you today. The first episode of the Late Hit Sports Podcast. Exciting.
The very first one of what we hope will be very many.
Well,
I'm excited to have you on board.
We can only fire ourselves. There's no bosses, so I think we're good to go.
That's true, and if we fire ourselves, we can bring someone in that can do it better. But I don't think anybody will do it better than us. Well, let's get right into it. I wanted to start off with the most overrated college football conferences out of the Power Five. You teased me the other day that you were back and forth between a couple of them, and you think I'd be surprised. So what two were you back and forth with, and which one did you ultimately pick was the most overrated football conference?
Well, when you look at it, when you're breaking down these football conferences, of course, everybody goes with what have you done for me lately? And when you think of that as far as football conferences, I went back and forth with Big 12 and Big 10. And I know a lot of people in West Virginia were Big 12 fans, and we sometimes are a little biased towards our conferences or our teams in our conference. Now, top to bottom, the Big 12 is one of the best regular season conferences, and I will stress that regular season conference in the country. But when it comes to getting it done at the end of the season and winning national championships, I'll wait for you to tell me when the last one was. So that's what I came down to, you know, comparing these conferences to. Now everybody jumps to the ACC, and top to bottom, it is pretty watered down, but it's a conference on the rise to me because Clemson played in the national championship last year. Florida State played in the national championship a couple years in a row and played and was a contender for a national championship. So ACC has that to back them up with. Plus North Carolina is on the rise. You know, top to bottom, Miami will be back. They just got too much recruiting area and talent in that area. They'll be back. You know, top to bottom, as far as overrated, top to bottom. Now I'm saying from the best team at the top to lower end, to me, the most overrated is the Big Ten Conference.
So you went with the Big Ten, and I'm surprised you put the Big 12 in there because I see it. 70% of the conference went to a bowl game last year.
Yeah.
You have Kansas that brings the numbers down every single year as you go 0-12, which the only thing that's keeping them in the Big 12 is basketball.
Yes.
I had to go with the ACC. I've been a hater of them for a while. And when I look at it from top to bottom, Florida State won a national title. Clemson played for a national title. So you got 2 years where they've been pretty good. Before that, they were irrelevant for a long time. You got a team that you brought in from the Big East in 2003 in Boston College, or 2004. They went 0-8 in conference.
Yeah.
They have five teams not go to a bowl game. They went 9-13 against Power 5 teams this year, 3-4 in bowl games. Along with that, Florida State and Pitt both lost to American Athletic Conference teams this past year. North Carolina allowed a record-breaking amount of rushing yards and a loss to Baylor in their bowl game. Let me say that again. A record-breaking amount of rushing yards and a loss to Baylor. Baylor's a passing team.
Yeah.
They throw the ball. So I just can't see where anything in the ACC, when you have a 9-13 record, now don't get me wrong, they're on the rise. With Miami hiring Mark Richt, Virginia hiring Bronco Mendenhall, Dino Babers at Syracuse, and Justin at Virginia Tech. I can't pronounce his last name, so I'm not even going to try. So their future's bright, but right now you got Clemson and Florida State. And Florida State last year wasn't that good. Their schedule made them look better than what they really were. Clemson is the cream of the crop, and that has to do with they're in a recruiting hotbed and coaching. So I was going to have to go with the ACC there. The Big Ten, I could see your argument, because at the same time, Ohio State and Michigan State, you know, they're not winning a lot of national titles either. And Michigan, right.
Well,
they're not winning a lot of national titles.
Well, here, let me just let's talk about how the reasoning behind the whole Big Ten, Big 12 conversation. The reason why I picked these two conferences. Now, the Big Ten, when you look at the Big Ten, it definitely is one of those conferences that is very top heavy, because the top of the Big Ten, it could compete with anybody in the country. But the bottom of the Big Ten could not compete with most of the bottom of the other Power Five conferences. That's the reason why the Big Ten was in the conversation. Outside of that, though, Ohio State is probably the most dominant program we've seen in several years, and they've won a national championship 2 years ago, and they lost 9 players this year to the NFL draft, and probably I think mostly NFL draft stuff. So they don't bring back a lot of guys. I think 3 offensive players, 3 defensive players, and 2 special teams guys are back as far as starters for Ohio State. But they recruit better than anybody in the entire country. Urban Meyer is one of the best recruiters as far as head coaches goes in the entire country. He knows Florida, whereas all the talent South Florida has brought in, probably the most NFL talent we've seen in several years in the NFL. So the Big Ten, as far as a whole conference, is certainly overrated, but they have got it done when they need to get it done. And that's why I said the Big 12 was on that list for me too, just based off the fact that even though 70% of the conference made a bowl game, they have struggled in bowl games the past several years, and they have not won a national title. When was the last one? Was it Oklahoma in 2008 or something like that? Was that the last one?
I can't even remember back that far.
I think it was 2008. I think it was 2008. I think it was the year after West Virginia beat a freshman Sam Bradford and Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl. Oklahoma went on the next year, I think, and played in the national championship one. I'd have to check that. I should know that, but it's been a while. So getting it done with national championships, that's the reason why we call the SEC, most of us, when we talk about college football, as the best conference in America, because they win national championships year in and year out, much like Alabama just did this past year. So championships will define your conference, whether you like it or not.
Well, let me ask you this. How much does recruiting play into winning? Because when you look at it, all these big schools, they have great recruiting, right? But they have great coaches. When you look at these smaller schools like North Carolina, they're not the best recruiters out there, but they've been competitive. Does that have to do with just coaching, or do recruits make them a good program?
I think North Carolina actually is a more underrated recruiting area in the country. A lot of people don't talk about North Carolina being a hot zone. But the thing is with North Carolina, though, as they are close enough to get those JUCO players from Mississippi, they're still close enough to get players from Florida. They're in that southern area of the country where they are competing. The ACC and the SEC are competing for recruits in that area of the country. Let's not kid ourselves. Of course, the SEC will get most of the recruits because of the school they are and their coaches and the tradition of the SEC conference. So they will get most of those big-time names. But North Carolina, it's good to have a great head coach that can actually recruit along with his assistants and his coordinators. So, I think a lot of it has to do with that, and I think a lot of it has to do with coaching. I mean, coaching these kids up. You see it all the time. Let's talk about West Virginia real quick. You see that they get 3-star guys. That's usually the highest guys they get, and they turn into stars. I mean, Pat White, for instance, I think he was a 2-star. I think that was the highest he was getting, and he ended up becoming one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen in Morgantown. So it is a lot to do with the system and coaching these kids in these systems. That has a lot to do with it, but also recruiting the kids that you need for your system to work. It doesn't necessarily mean the stars, but it means coaching up these kids and knowing that these are the right kids for your system.
I can agree with that. I agree with coaching is I don't believe recruiting is all that important. When you look at it, 2007, Texas had the number 3 recruiting class in the country. You fast forward to 2011 when they're all seniors, Texas went 5-7 on the year. So I do think that it has to do with coaching. Obviously, it helps having the best recruits. But I think most of it has to do with coaching. Urban Meyer, when he was winning at Utah, he was getting two-star, three-star guys. He wasn't getting four or five-star recruits, but he was winning because he was a great coach.
Right.
Same way when you look at Rich Rodriguez at West Virginia, there was a bunch of three-star guys, two-star guys, but he was winning because he got them to fit his system. I mean, you can go back and look at TCU before they joined the Big 12. They won based on coaching. And Boise State with Chris Peterson, he was now at Washington. So that was one big thing for me. I want to go through and compare and contrast some of the teams from your weakest conference in the Big Ten to mine in the ACC and see who would beat who in the ACC. Michigan State won the Big Ten. Who do you think wins that game?
Between who? Michigan State and who?
And Clemson.
This year's teams, I'm going to have to go Clemson just because, and I know we saw Clemson get bullied around with a physical team with Alabama in the national championship game, and Clemson did hang in. I mean, the game at first seemed like Alabama was just going to completely dominate, and Clemson hung in and came back in that second half of that national championship game. I just think Clemson would probably beat Michigan State based off the fact that what Michigan State did during the season, close game against Iowa. I think speed would get the best of Michigan State because Alabama, even though they're big and physical, they do have a lot of speed on defense. That's why a lot of their guys go to the NFL on defense mostly. So that's the reason why Alabama looks so great against Clemson, because they do have the speed on the defense. I mean, it's not all just power. And Michigan State has it too. It's a physical Big Ten team. But I would have to still go Clemson. I would with those two teams, I would go Clemson.
Okay, well, say North Carolina, Ohio State. Because I went Clemson as well, by the way. So we both agree the ACC would win that game. So North Carolina, Ohio State.
Oh, I would have to go Ohio State all the way. Even though North Carolina does have a lot of athletes, and shout out to my boy Ryan Switzer. But I think that for sure, I think with what Ohio State had this year, and Ohio State certainly could have won a national championship this year, I think that Ohio State would have no problem handling North Carolina. I think North Carolina could probably hang in for maybe the first half, but I think the second half would be a different story. Buckeyes roll over the Tar Heels, North Carolina.
Okay, we got a long way to go. I also think Ohio State's going to win. Florida State and Iowa.
We got 12 minutes, so we'll run through these, and then we'll get to that top 25. But what did you say, Florida State and Iowa? I'm going to have to go.
Florida State and Iowa.
This year, I think I'm going to go. Man, that's a tough one. Florida State struggled with a lot of games early, especially against teams they should have beat. Iowa came out as you know, a gangbuster, but then again, you got to look at Iowa's schedule. They choked in the Big Ten championship game. They got rocked by Stanford in the Rose Bowl. I'd probably have to go Florida State.
That is a tough one. I'm going to go Florida State as well, based on I think they just have more talent overall, and I think they have a better coach than Jimbo Fisher. Pitt and Michigan.
Oh, that's a no-brainer, and this isn't a bias towards Pitt because I completely would probably pick a high school team over Pitt if I had a chance, but I think I'm going to go I think I'm definitely going to go you said what is it again, Pitt and Michigan. I'm going to go Michigan all the way. Yeah, I'm going to go Michigan all the way.
I'm not a Pitt fan either, and I can't stay in Michigan by living in Ohio. So that I really wouldn't want to see either one of them win. I hate Pitt just a little bit more. So I'm going to go with Michigan winning that game. Let's say Louisville and Northwestern. I think that'd be an intriguing matchup.
I do, but I think Louisville is bringing in the type of talent that now the ACC is kind of paying off for them. They did bring in talent before that, before moving over to the ACC. When it came into the Big East, I mean, you saw that they brought a nice swagger to themselves and was really the big dog in the Big East for the first couple years. And they competed well in the ACC. They haven't been gangbusters by any by the imagination, but I think that I would have to go Louisville in that matchup. I think it would be good, but I'm going Louisville.
See, I'm going Northwestern all day there. I don't think Louisville has it in them anymore. I just don't see any promise from them. Last year they couldn't compete very well. I don't see any promise in them anymore. Let's go ahead and move on to this ESPN. I tell you, ESPN, they made me laugh out loud when I read this top 25. I don't know how they do it, but they do. I don't know if it's because they're attached to Disney and they live in a fairy tale or what, but let's go ahead and look at their top 25. Let's run through the first top 10 real quick and tell me what you think. They got number one Clemson. Or I'm sorry, number one Alabama. Clemson at number two. Michigan at number three. Florida State at four. Oklahoma at five. LSU at six. Baylor at seven. Stanford at eight. Notre Dame at nine. And Ohio State at 10. Go ahead and give me your thoughts on that real quick.
Well, they started out pretty strong, although I don't think Alabama should be number one, even though they're the returning national champions. And I think ESPN just writes stuff like this because they're just fiending for some type of football stuff to get the fans excited. But Alabama at number one, I know they're a powerhouse. I know they won a national championship last year. I know they get the best recruiting class in the country almost every year, pretty much every year since Nick Saban stepped on campus. But I don't think Alabama should be number one. They have seven offensive starters returning, coming back, but they have questions at quarterback like they did last year. I'm not sure how talented these guys are. They're competing through spring camp. We kind of had our opinions on Coker, but he's an Alabama guy and things, and he helped them win the national championship. But I don't know. I don't think Alabama should be one. I think Clemson should be one just because Deshaun Watson is coming back. Now the questions for the Clemson Tigers is going to be defense. They lost a lot of guys in the NFL draft. Their secondary is going to be really weak. I'm interested to see what happens there. They got three guys coming back on defense. But in the ACC, if they were in the Big 12 or something of that sort, it'd probably be tougher. I said that it'd be tougher for them to get through the Big 12 grind, but in the ACC, I think they'll be fine. I'm interested to see if they get a shot at the college football playoff this year, but Deshaun Watson is hands down probably the best quarterback coming back in college football this year. So Clemson certainly probably has a big chance of getting back to the college football playoff. I like Michigan at three. I know you don't like hearing that, but they have eight guys coming back on offense, six on defense. The recruiting class was in did they get the best one or was it they were second? Did they get the best one at the end?
I think they were second.
Okay.
But let me stop you right there.
All right.
What do you see from Michigan? I got you. They returned eight on offense, six on defense, and they went 10-3, 6-2 in the Big Ten. But what can you possibly see that makes you put them at number three in the country? Because I think this is just ESPN's love with Harbaugh. And I think that's why they have Alabama at number one as well, as they just love the SEC. It makes them money. They have the SEC network.
I think with Michigan, you summed it up and you mentioned it before I did. Two words, Jim Harbaugh. I just think that – and the reason why is because – outside of his outlandish behavior, which, by the way, I enjoy very much, and I tell everybody to follow him on Twitter because he's amazing on Twitter. Outside of Lane Kiffin, that's probably my favorite Twitter person I follow on Twitter. But you look at Harbaugh.
Is Lane Kiffin's Twitter account down a little bit with the divorce going on?
Oh no, it's even better. It's crazier.
Oh, I thought
which
he might
be
posting some motivational tweets or something like that to get his hopes up.
We got six. We're close to 6 minutes left, and I'll wrap this up real quick. But Jim Harbaugh, if you look at what he's done, and he's single-handedly revived Stanford football. That's a given. He went to San Francisco, and I think the last time they were in a Super Bowl was when Steve Young was the quarterback, and he took Colin Kaepernick to the Super Bowl. I mean, how many coaches could take Colin Kaepernick to the Super Bowl? And multiple NFC championships. I just think the guy wins everywhere he goes. He's a great coach. He's a great guy. He loves to have fun. He's an intense guy, but he loves to have fun. And I think he really enjoys what he does, which makes him a great coach. And everywhere he goes, and you put him in a program like Michigan, and even though they've been down for years, they had that one good year with what's his name? I forget his name. Jeez. What was the coach before Harbaugh?
Brady Hoke.
Yeah. Brady Hoke.
Brady Hoke.
Always his name. Yeah, his name always slips my mind. But You know, they had that one good year. They thought he was the answer. They thought Rich Rodriguez was the answer. And they, and let's be honest, they've been down since Floyd Carr retired. But I think Harbaugh is going to bring this program back to prominence. And even though Ohio State fans may not be excited about that, it's exciting for the whole conference because you need that if you're an Ohio State fan or a Big Ten fan, because you need that back. You need another power, a blue blood, to be back on the national landscape.
I think that with Brady Hoke, and when they thought he was the answer, his first year they came in, I believe they won the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, it was the, or it was
and
the Sugar Bowl.
Sugar Bowl, right.
Yeah,
so he was using all of Rich Rod's guys. So all he did was put the icing on the cake. The cake that Rich Rodriguez built, he put the icing on it. I think if Rich Rodriguez would have been there, as much as I hate to say it, they would have been in the national title, and they could have easily won the national title that year. But one thing I don't see from ESPN and their top 25 is Houston. They seem like they stick with the big dogs every year. You see Notre Dame up there. You see Tennessee ranked. You see USC ranked. They got Oregon in it. They keep Louisville in it. You know, Alabama, Florida State, Oklahoma. They want all these perennial power teams that I'm surprised we don't see Texas. I'm surprised they don't just throw Texas into the top 25 just so they can make some money off of it. But all you see from ESPN is your perennial powers. They rank up your top 25, and then 2 weeks into the season, half of them are going to be out because they're 0-2.
Yeah.
One thing I did like was Bruce Feldman over at Fox Sports. He has Houston at number 6. Houston's coming off a 13-1 season where they beat Florida State in the Peach Bowl.
Yeah.
This is going to be one of your surprise teams, and maybe – could we potentially get a non-Power 5 team into the playoff? Do you think so?
I don't think so, just because of what's happened between a couple Power 5s already in the 2 years we've seen with the Baylor-TCU situation. I love Houston. I think they should become a Big 12 member when we're talking about Big 12 expansion. And we're not going to get into that very much detail because we got about 3 minutes and 30 seconds left, but I love Houston. I love Coach Herman. As we know, he was on Urban Meyer's staff at Ohio State. You talk about another great coach on the rise. A good thing, they are at 18th in the ESPN poll. They did get that big victory against Florida State last year in the Peach Bowl, which, by the way, I loved every bit of that and watched every down of that game. But I love Houston very much. I kind of have like a love affair with Houston right now, a secret one. Don't tell anybody, but I definitely would I would love to see them. They get an audition, a Big 12 audition against Oklahoma this year, and it'll be in Houston. And so it'll be exciting to see how they compete against what's supposed to be one of the top teams in the Big 12 coming into this year, being Oklahoma.
If the Big 12 does expand, will they pick up Houston, in your opinion?
I would think if they're going TV market, because Houston is up there as far as TV market and population and sexiness of the city, and just they're just a sexy market to be able to pick up. Now, the only downfall is that Texas may not like Houston, kind of another Texas team in their recruit, because, you know, it's all about recruiting when it comes down to it. So you're already competing with TCU and Baylor for recruits. So you add Houston, and now all of a sudden, you got kids who can potentially start for a school like Houston in the Big 12 Conference. So they could be getting 4 or 5-star kids in Texas, because there's a lot of talent to go around. But Texas is not going to want that. And that could potentially keep Houston out of the conference. But they certainly deserve to be in the conference, in my opinion.
Well, you're right. And I think they do. I'm excited to see what Tom Herman and the Cougars can do this year. They're an impressive team. He came in to go 13-1 your first season with someone else's guys and beat a power like Florida State. You're on the right path. He was winning at Ohio State, had that offense where you could use a third-string quarterback and not miss a beat. Houston's a very good team to watch. But I'd like to thank you for joining me today. I'd like to hope to have you on next week as well with the Late Hits podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
But that'll be it.
We need to make an outro. I forgot to make us an outro. We need to start. We'll get an outro for next week, folks.
Okay, that sounds good. But we'll be on the same time next week, Wednesday at 1 o'clock, Late Hit Sports. You can follow us on Facebook at Late Hit Sports and on Twitter at Late Hit Sports. The website will also be coming up shortly. We're working on it, latehitsports.com. feel free to call in next time. We'll talk to you then.
All right. Peace out.